So glad to be here this morning. Your church is like our second home. We've been here so often, I hope you're not fed up with us. I know you folks have made us feel so welcomed here. We've attended a few of the Wednesday evening prayer meetings, and what an honor to be given this morning to preach from God's Word. And I just want to acknowledge and appreciate the man of God who was scheduled to speak, but was willing to give up so that I could have maybe one last time at grace. But there's one thing sure, even if we don't meet again, we sure will meet, either here or there. That's if you come to India, but definitely up there. And that's our hope, and that's what we live for, and that's what we look forward to. Well, that picture that you saw up there was a fake one. They weren't singing. That was taken in the middle of the night when people act crazy. It happened after our Christmas evening service, and the guys just didn't know what to do, and everyone had left, and we were just cleaning up. The stage was set for our Christmas program, and it was all over, and they just took their guitars, and you can see it's fake. He's looking up. He's not singing. But I'm glad they didn't do that here this morning. And that song indeed reminded us of what Jesus said and did on the cross. He not only said, I love you, but he showed us so very clear that he does love each of us. I'm so grateful to God for this church. Not just because you have welcomed us and made us feel at home, but for the ministry that you've been doing all these years, for the missionaries you support. I'm grateful for the Bible studies that you have. I was just sharing this morning of how blessed I was to sit in that Bible study today. How many times I've read over the Passion Week of Jesus, but miss the details. That's better than Bible school. That's better than Bible college. You folks are so privileged to have these men of God and ladies who are teaching. Don't take it for granted. Take it with gratitude. We miss this in India. When I go back, I'm going to start Sunday school for even adults. We don't have that in India. So you have taught me something. And you didn't teach me. I caught it from you while you were teaching. And what a blessing it is. And when we know the Word of God, when we understand it as it is, it makes us mature. It makes us strong in our faith. And we will become teachers along the way. So very grateful to God for the ministry that has been done at this church. Just want to thank you all for the offerings you've given us. It's going to help us a long, long way. Just want to thank God for the love gifts that have come to us. And a special, special thanks. And it will just not be sufficient for the family that has taken care of us while we've been here. And if there's one person who needs to get there for the retreat, it's Beverly Wincott. She needs to be the first one to get there. No kidding. She and George, as a team, along with their lovely kids, have just given us a honeymoon period in the U.S. They've just made it so lovely for us. And we may never be able to repay them, but may the Lord reward them. And that's what we pray for. So thank you. Thanks to the Wincotts. Thanks to Grace Baptist Church. We've just enjoyed the fellowship. We'll be on our way next Sunday, going to Virginia for a meeting and then heading down to South Carolina, North Carolina, and who knows where from there. But we may never get to see you folks again, but today we just want to express our gratitude for having us over, for supporting us financially, and I know you will support us with your prayers till we meet again. My son was asking me, Dad, what are you going to preach today? Often I tell my wife and my sons, you don't know and the devil doesn't know. Because I just don't know sometimes. The Lord just changes things in my mind and makes me do what he wants me to do. And we were Wednesday at another Baptist church, and my son came out of that meeting and he said, "Dad, it spoke to me. That's a good message, Dad. It spoke to me." So he asked me today, he said, "Are you going to speak that same message, Dad? It spoke to me. I think it'll be a good one today." With all honesty, I think what he means is, it's good. What God spoke that day is good, and it's even good for us today. But I want you to know that life is not just all about what's good. And if we are going to live our lives just seeking for what's good for us, then we're just going to miss the whole plan of God for our lives. And that's why this title, "For His Glory and for Our Good." If I say for our good, and every one of us will feel comfortable today, for my good, go ahead, preacher, I want to hear that. The world will say, "I want what's good for me." Even if it's bad for you, if it's good for me, that's what I want. But so often when we go seeking after what's good for us and forget about for His glory, it's self-destruction that comes our way. I've never preached this sermon before. I've never understood this before. I'm just learning. Maybe if the Lord gives me another opportunity somewhere else and burdens my heart to preach this, it may come a little better than today. So bear with me. I'm not just going to follow any homiletical outline. But I'm preaching from my heart what the Lord has laid on my heart. I've been making a lot of phone calls. This is my first deputation. I'm new to it. I don't know how to go about it. But I've had so many God-given blessings who have helped me, planned out and got meetings for me. But I'm learning now to do it on my own. And it's not an easy task for those who do it. A lot of disappointments along the way. And last week I was just seated with a phone in my hand and looking at the emails I have sent, and nothing much to take back to saying, you know, I have something to look forward. And thoughts began to run in my mind, race in my mind, in fact. What am I doing here? Is this it? Is this the right decision? I brought my family along with me. Where do we go from here? I had 3 or 4 meetings scheduled for the month of July, and I was feeling very comfortable, thinking it's all planned out. And just overnight, I had to cancel all those 3 meetings because it was not a church I wanted to go to. It was not something that the Lord was giving me peace with. And the moment I said no to that, it was a blank slate before me. And you know, that's the time the devil starts to whisper things to you when you want to do what's right. Then he gets you to think what's wrong. And I began to feel deep down not so good about it. And the Lord began to ask me, "Why are you here in the U.S.? Why did I do all that work to get you and your family here?" I'm saying, "Lord, to raise support for the work in India?" Nope. There's always a need everywhere. And the Lord says He will supply our needs. I'm not here to raise support for my work in India. And the Lord told me that so very clear. You are here to do what I want you to do. You are here. You may go back with nothing. But if you can go back being a blessing, then you have done what I wanted you to do. You are here for my glory and for your good. But you're not here for your good. You're not here just to get your needs in India met. You're not just here for that. You are here for my glory. And the scripture verse that we read this morning, I want to take you back to that again. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 to 33. I hope that will be my theme verse for the rest of the months and the rest of my life on this side of heaven. That God will enable me to live my life for His glory, and ultimately it will be for my good. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm just going to read it once again. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Whenever, whatsoever, your whole life comes in that verse. I just enjoy the music, the violin, the piano, the guitar, George leading, and all of you who involve in the ministry. Whatsoever you do, do it for just one purpose, the glory of God. Now you might say, that's what we're doing at Grace, Pastor. And I might convince myself, that's why I'm here this morning. But somehow you've got to go a little deeper and really see, is that the purpose of my life? For God's glory. And so often it's not. I'm going to show you two people, two lives from the Bible. That could be like an illustration or like a warning. The first one is from Acts chapter 5. This is the story of a couple, Ananias and Sapphira. The church had just started. It needed everyone's involvement. It needed finances. And here was this couple doing what others were doing, selling their land and all that they had and bringing it and laying it at the apostles' feet. Was that a good work they were doing? Absolutely. Would you do that? Maybe some of you would. But what happened? On the same day, there was a funeral for the husband and the wife. And if you see chapter 5 of the book of Acts, they lied to the Holy Spirit. They were doing what's good. They were doing what others would appreciate. They were doing what was required of them. But somehow what they were doing was not for the glory of God. Peter looks at them in the eye and says, why has the devil, Satan, tempted you to lie to the Holy Spirit? Now that's serious. That's serious business with God. Now you might say, I've lied so many times, but I'm still alive. Well, God works in different ways. When the church began, God was reminding the church of His power and His presence and His glory. And He wanted them to know that He is not going to let them be the kind of people they want to be. If they want to glorify Him, then they have to be a people who will live their lives to please Him. And so I want you to think about Ananias and Sapphira. They had lost their lives because what they did was good, but it didn't glorify God. It glorified themselves. A few chapters after that, chapter 12, you don't have to turn to that, just as an illustration, you find Herod here. He's wanting to prove that he is the big guy out there. And he can see the people are looking up to him. And they all gather and Herod stands up and declares his presence. And the people acknowledge and appreciate and they regard him as God. And the Bible says, immediately he died and worms began to eat his body. Why? Because he did not glorify God. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Turn with me to chapter 12 of Acts for just a moment. Acts chapter 12 and verse 20 to 23. Verse 22 says that the people gave a shout saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. Immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. You might say, that's an unbeliever. But God's glory doesn't change whether it's for a believer or an unbeliever. He's a God who is possessive of His honor and His name. And He will never let that to be brought lower than what it should be. If you would just turn to Isaiah chapter 42. And I'll show you what the Lord says here about His own glory. Isaiah 42 and verse 8. And I'll appreciate this morning if you can help me a bit. Whoever finds it, read it. Isaiah 42 verse 8. I hope you heard that loud and clear. I will not give my glory to another. Now, so often we feel we give God the glory. We do something and then we say, okay, it's come to me now. I'm going to give it to the one who needs it. You can't give God the glory. In fact, you've got to realize that the life you live. Now, the word glory is honor, reverence, respect, appreciation, praise. It's really very difficult to put it down to just one word. The Greek word doxa is heavy. It's a word that describes something that's weighty. So it's giving to God what is rightfully His. We can't make Him heavier than He is. We can't make Him shine more than He shines. But we could steal some of that for ourselves and think we are giving Him 99%. He deserves all the glory, not 99%. And so often it is when you are in the ministry and doing things for the Lord and people start to honor you and exalt you, it's so easy to be caught up with self and not His glory. So many people leave churches because they didn't get the honor they thought they deserved. We deserve nothing. He deserves everything. For His glory and for our good. Oh, to live a life like that. I'm just learning and I'm just praying God will open our eyes to understand what it means. Well, I was just with that thought in mind, just looking at what hinders us from giving God the glory. What hinders us from hinders us in doing whatsoever you eat or drink or whatever you do for the glory of God. What stops us from that? Well, it is our own self. The Greek word for I is ego, from where comes our English word ego. Oh, the me. I like to be honored. I like to be appreciated. I like when the I comes in the way of God. It's a dangerous place to put yourself. I've listed 5 ways or 5 points. And as I said, I'm not going through any homiletical outline here. But 5 points which will enable us to live a life for the glory of God and for our good. Ultimately, when you live your life for the glory of God, it's for your good. It just becomes good for you. But when you seek for what's good for you, you will lose not only the glory of God, but it'll be self-destructive. And I've seen that so often. Number one, keep in mind constantly, you are saved for His glory. You're not saved to go to heaven. Where else can you go if you're saved? You're not saved to walk the streets of gold. Well, all that comes as a package. But you are saved for His glory. Ephesians chapter 1. And as I was just reading this, I said, God, maybe I'm missing the point. Maybe I'm missing the point in my deputation, Lord. If you can take my family and you can make us a blessing. If some can be called into the ministry. If some can find the Savior. If some can mend their broken lives. Lord, then I know this is going to glorify You. And it's good for us. But if it's just all about the funds we need to raise for the ministry in India, we're going to lose You in the process. And who needs the money when God is not in it? Where is the blessing when the giver is not in it? Oh, to have a heart like Moses. He was daring enough to say, show me Thy glory, Lord. God said, you don't know what you're asking, Moses. You can't see me and live. He says, I'm so much in love with you. I want you. Show me more of you, Lord. Oh, to be living a life where you can just think about, I'm standing right now in Grace Baptist Church and I'm preaching. Why am I preaching? For the glory of God. I'm seated in the church this morning and listening to a sermon. Why am I doing that? Because it's Sunday morning. For the glory of God. I'm living with my spouse even though I have a lot of problems. Why am I doing that? The glory of God. I have children who are going astray. I have a broken heart, but I will not stop praying for them. Why do I do that? Can you see what I'm saying? Everything, whatsoever you do, do for the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says it's so very plain and clear. And I just want to read, it's three verses here. In fact, chapter 1, you can remember this. The first one is in verse 6. He tells you what God did. He predestinated you and he saved you. Why did he do this? Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Come down to verse 12. Verse 11 says, we've obtained an inheritance. Why do we have all of this? Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Come down to verse number 14. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We have the earnest of the Spirit within us. Why has God blessed me with all spiritual blessings? 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Why? Unto the praise of. Have we lost it somewhere along the way? I've just been saved and forgiven so I can have a good time on this side of heaven. I've just been saved and forgiven so that I can enjoy the world a little bit and be sure I'm going to heaven. Sure. You've been saved so that you can be an instrument. Glorify God. And you know what? That's good for you. Number one, guide that will guard us from not giving God the glory is if we remember time and again, we are saved for his glory. I like Colossians chapter 3. Would you turn to that a little bit? Colossians chapter 3. That clock starts to turn very fast when I start turning the pages of my Bible. I think the battery needs to be changed in that. Chapter 3 of Colossians. Oh, I'm excited about what the Lord is saying today. But I won't keep you beyond your time. Chapter 3 of Colossians. Look with me at verse number 17. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Goes back to the same theme verse that we read. But let's see what all God tells us to do. Verse 18, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands. Fall in line. Play the part that God wants you to play. You're not the doormat. Neither are you the crown on top of his head. You have a role that God has given you. Wives, submit to your husbands. Notice, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives even when you think they are unlovable. And even when you think they are annoying you. Don't stop loving them, even as Christ loves the church. Don't be bitter against them. Children, obey your parents at all times, irrespective of what kind of parents you have. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, again, the word father here is not just referring to the male. It also can reference to both parents, because it's used like that in Hebrews when it speaks about how they hid baby Moses. And I think both have a responsibility here. Fathers and mothers, do not provoke your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, why is all this coming in the context here? Whatsoever you do, servants, obey. You are an employee working for an employer. He is not the kind of person you wanted. God put you there, obey. Now, as you go down, verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. All of you are serving Jesus Christ, even though you've not got into full-time ministry. Just being a spouse, just being a faithful child, being a loving parent, you have done your ministry. You serve the Lord. And you can glorify God where you are. Don't sit down and look at, I wish I could. Yes, you could where you are. Because that's what God wants you to do. Number one, God for us is, we are saved for his glory. Number two, while you may lose sight of this every now and then, remember there's a day of reckoning. Someday there's a payday. You can't just say, you know what? I'm saved, I'm forgiven, I'm going to heaven. That's true. But remember, there's a day of reckoning when every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. We're not going to be judged for our sins. That's taken on the cross. It's finished. But we are going to be judged whether we gave God the glory. We're going to be judged for the works that followed salvation. We are going to be judged for the things done in our body. The way you treated your wife, the way your wife treated you, the way children behaved with parents, the way you worked, everything, whatsoever you thought you can do and get away, will all come up again. But you can have it settled this morning by getting right away, by asking to be forgiven and forgiving others. Finish what you can here so that when we go up there, it'll be a time of rejoicing and not a time of reckoning. But we will give an account to the Lord. And what does Paul say in 2 Corinthians 5:11? He doesn't say it's going to be a day of rejoicing. He says, knowing the terror of the Lord. Paul, you mean the judgment seat of Christ is going to be a day of terror? Oh, it's going to be a day of disappointment. It's going to be a day of regret. It's going to be a day of, I wish. But it'll never come back. But thank God we've not reached there yet. We still have time to make amends. It's going to be a day of reckoning. It's not the judgment seat, which is spoken about in the book of Revelation, but this is, the word judgment there is bema. It's the rewarding seat. It's the prize distribution for the things you've done. God makes a note of it. And if you want to live a life for His glory, keep in mind, there's going to be a day of reckoning. Someday there's a payday. It may be a heyday today, but the payday is not too far away. Christians, don't live your life just for yourself. Don't live your life just seeking after your goals. I'm going to come to that in the next point. Point number three. If we want to live a life for His glory and for our good, remember, on that judgment day, it's not just what's done, but it is why it was done. The motives, the intent. I preached. Why did I preach? I served. Why did I serve? God is going to go down into the very details. And nothing is going to be hidden before that great loving judge. The secrets will be opened up. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you don't have to turn to it. It talks about our works that will be judged. Whether it's gold, silver and precious stones or wood, hay and stubble. And if you look at that, there's a caution given there. Take heed how ye build. It's not what you're doing. It's why you're doing it. I may be preaching because people like me to preach. Oh, that's a bad reason to be preaching. You may be listening to a preacher because you like that preacher. But that's not the best reason to be listening to him. What if that preacher stops preaching? Is it for the glory of God? I hope you can see beyond what I'm trying to say. I hope you can see beyond what you're doing right now. And you can ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I in this place where I am? Is it for God's glory? Is he using me as an instrument to exalt His name and to honor Him? And somewhere have I lost it? Because it's been all about me. It's not what's done, but it is how it's done. And that's why 1 Corinthians 3 reminds us, take heed how ye build. Watch what you're doing. And if you're doing it as a routine, stop right there, because God's not glorified in that. If you can't make your sacrifice with thanksgiving, it's no sacrifice at all. If you can't do it the way it's going to honor God, it's no honor at all. God's not going to be pleased because you've just done it. God's going to be pleased because you did it for His glory. Just think about what you're doing. Point number four. A hindrance or something that will come in the way of us doing this is, as I said earlier, your very own self. The I. And Paul battled with this. And Paul reminds us as Christians that So often it's the I that'll come and stand in between what you want to do for God's glory and what you don't want to do for your own self. Well, whenever I becomes more important than God, you know you've got the wrong focus already. You can almost find an echo in your mind of the words in Ezekiel and in Isaiah, which says, I will ascend. I will set up my throne above the throne of God. I will be like the Most High God. Who said that? Lucifer. And when I become so very important, and when I becomes hurt and the ego cannot take it anymore, you know you've lost the whole plot. You've lost the purpose of living. It's not about me. It's all about him. When it's all about him, you're willing to take anything that God gives you your way because you have just one motto in life. For his glory. Doesn't matter whether it's for my good, but it will turn out for your good. The I can come in the way. But what a contrast when you think of the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Bruised and beaten, rejected and forsaken, and he kneels. And he doesn't even find his disciples to kneel with him. He finds no man to give him the support. And as a man, he was crumbling and he would have died if the angels didn't come and strengthen him in Gethsemane. The Lamb of God, taking our sin, found no substitute for himself. And here he is, on his knees, crying out, if it be possible, Father, remove this cup from me, yet not my will be done, but your will. What a contrast. It's all about you, Father. It's all about your glory, Father, not my pain, not my shame, not my suffering. Ultimately, it was for our good. What a contrast. Whenever the I becomes important, you know you lost focus. It's not the Lord. It's the devil. That's why I'm telling you, you need to be careful of the New Age movement. It's all about yourself. It's all about you feeling good. It doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. Oh, yes, it does. Because it's about his glory. And if he said, this is not good, it's hurting me, and I will not share my glory with anything, you say, yes, Lord, it's all about you. Romans chapter 8. Verses 4 to 8, can you turn with me to that, please? Romans 8. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When you find this word flesh, it's talking about yourself, your true nature, your old nature, the I. Chapter 7, he describes the battle. What I should do, I don't do. What I should not do, that's what I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, says Paul. The battle will continue till the redemption of the body. But there is no reason you should give up and say, I can't help it. My flesh has overtaken me, and it's all about I, me, and myself. Oh, no, don't surrender. Paul says, you don't walk after the flesh, but you walk after the Spirit. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things after the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse number 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Sometimes, never. If I am going to let my flesh, and I thank my Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not a speaker. There was never once I stood before an audience and gave a speech during my school days. In fact, many people didn't even know my elder brother had a younger brother. I was always the one hiding behind mommy. Mommy, where are you? There were times people said, do you even have a tongue? And I'll say, can you show me your tongue? You don't believe that, right? Yeah, it's okay. My wife didn't even know I existed. She knew my brother, but she didn't know me. I'm glad she didn't marry him, but she married me. But I'm telling you, now why am I saying this? I'm so thankful every time I come up. Every time someone says that was a blessing, Pastor. I'm so thankful I can go back to Calvary and say, it's because of you, Lord. I'm not a speaker. I tremble and shiver even this morning to stand before you, dear people. But it's just one thing. He enabled me. He put me into the ministry. He trusted me. And I just want to do it for His glory. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Be careful that you don't mix the flesh. You don't allow yourself to get so involved where you don't realize it's the Spirit of God that exalts the Word of God and His presence. Point number four, God warns us to be careful of our flesh and not to allow it. Paul says in chapter 3 of Philippians, in my body, Christ should be magnified. The flesh is sinful, but this flesh can be used when it is submitted to God to be a screen where people can see Christ. So don't say, I can't help it, I have a sinful nature, therefore I just need to give in. Oh no. You walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Christians, don't give up. Don't say the world is too corrupt, the pressures are too much, I just can't walk that godly way. I can't do things for God's glory. Yes, you can. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? What is it going to take God to make us realize that you are mine? I bought you with a price. I'm not going to share you with the world. And if you want to do something for me, stop pleasing your flesh. Start pleasing me. And in so doing, it's for your good. How many youngsters? We just went to West Virginia last Sunday morning. And what a heartbreak it was to hear the pastor saying that so many youngsters have died because of overdose of drugs. So many of them have gone into the New Age movement. Because somewhere they are finding that the self is not satisfied in the Savior, and the self is seeking for something outside of self to find satisfaction. And you know what? You won't find it. You'll just find a rope at the end of the road that says, try me. Young people, I'm telling you, only Jesus can satisfy. Only Jesus is the one who loves you truly. And only Jesus has blessed you with talents and blessed you with life and strength so that you will glorify Him and not take the glory for yourself. It's all about Jesus. If you can preach, preach Him. If you can sing, sing about Him. If you can serve, do it for Him. But it's all about Him. When last you heard someone say, you know, I need to learn this lesson. You'll have people coming up and saying, you were such a blessing. Channel it back. I mean, there's nothing wrong in appreciating people. Don't get me wrong. But we honor God. We glorify God. We appreciate people, but we don't glorify people. We are living at a time where it's a man-centered Christianity. It's all about the preacher or the religious leader, and it's all about how you feel good about it. Uh-oh, we've lost it. Even if I don't feel good, if God said it, I do it because that glorifies Him. And it's good for me, ultimately. I wish I could say this in a more simpler and plainer way, but I hope you understand. The last point. You not only have to watch the flesh, but you've also got to constantly come for a cleansing. Just going back to the last point, yesterday I was just sitting with George and Bev and watching this debate between Bill Nye and Ken Ham. Yeah, some of you have seen it. I think in the church you watched it. We were watching what you watched because we couldn't see the most recent one. And I was so encouraged to see the stand that Ken Ham took. And every opportunity he got, he went back to that old book, translated into the American English. how often he rubbed it in, how often he made it sound like, I'm talking about Bill Nye, how often he was targeting not just the man, but Jesus Christ himself, mocking at him indirectly. But in all that he said, if I am not a believer, if I had to watch that interview and I saw Bill Nye there and Ken Ham here, I would have said, this man is all about self. He's just talking about the education that's going to help the society. And I feel sad for you, Kentucky, because you all don't have that knowledge. And it's because of... It was so much about himself. And look at the other man. As much as he was targeted, he used every opportunity at that mic to give the word of God and the truth of God's word. If I can put those two as illustrations for the glory of God and for his own good. And look at the other side. For his own glory and self-destruction. Well, I think that illustrates what God has been trying to tell us. The last point is, we will fail. We will steal the glory sometimes. But during this grace period, the gracious Lord has not dealt with us like he did with Herod or with Ananias and Sapphira. But he reminds us time and again, you need a cleansing. 1 John 1:9, what a sweet verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I said, Lord, I love that verse, but can you give me something in the Old Testament, something a little more that I can relate to? And I was just thinking of a verse that I couldn't find, and I had to search for a long time, and then I found it. So I'd share this with you in closing. Leviticus chapter 8. We are priests. We are a kingdom of priests. We have a ministry to do. Leviticus chapter 8 says, many times we might even steal from God what is rightfully his. But here is God's way of cleansing us and keeping us, rather than judging us and destroying us. Chapter 8 of Leviticus, verse 22. And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, identification here. And he slew it, and Moses took of the blood of it and put it in the tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put of the blood upon the tip of their right ear, the thumbs of their right hands, and upon the great toes of their right feet. I'm not going to go into explaining what was done, but I'm just going to apply a lesson from that. They needed cleansing, and there was a substitute they could identify with. It is the right ear, thumb, and toe, just speaking about your strength, your position. And I'm telling you, dear people, if you and I are not going to have the blood applied upon our flesh, then our flesh is going to be our number one destruction from glorifying God. What you hear, what you do, and what you work or what you can, so what service comes out of your life. God wants us to watch what we hear. God wants us, God is concerned with what we do with our hands, and God is concerned with where our feet take us. And I want to tell you, that covers your whole life. Your head, hands, your feet. Probably you can preach many sermons to explain this in detail, but I'm just taking the application here. We need a cleansing. And notice, on the flesh, the blood was applied. And as much as we have a sinful self in us, I also want to tell you, we have a Savior's blood available for us. Written in red is available for you today. Not just to be washed and forgiven and taken to heaven, but to be cleansed, purified, so you can glorify the Savior. Stop making excuses. Start making confession. Say, Lord, you have blessed me with so many talents. I've used much of this for my own glory, for my own self-exaltation. I've not realized, Lord, it's all about you, not about myself. This morning I bring my flesh as it is, raw, rotten, stinking. Say, apply your blood on me, Lord. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And you know what? You will have not only energy to do what God wants you to do, you'll have a vision of God what God wants you to do. A cleansing is what you and I need in our lives. And constantly may this be our prayer. He must increase, but I must decrease. To live our lives for His glory and for our good. That's why we are here together at Grace Baptist Church. That's why I'm here on deputation. That's why we'll all be here till the Lord says, let's go home. Time up. Let's not lose focus of this. Whatsoever you do, can we say that together? Whatsoever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You know what's the end result? It's for your good. It's been such a joy to share God's word with you. May not have been homiletical, but I hope it has been personal to your heart. I think the song my family is going to sing will kind of sum up the whole message together, and I'll call them up to come up and sing this. You know, we think we lose it when we come to Jesus. And Paul says, I count it but dung. I count all that I gained before I came to Christ as waste. Because when I win Christ, you found it all. And this song is putting together all that I said, or what God spoke to us from His word this morning. And I hope it'll be a blessing to your heart before we pray. I found it all when I found the Lord.
Success to follow me. I thought it might be in a plan to sail across the seas, but I didn't find what I really need. I found it all when I lost everything and gave my life to serve a risen King. I found the truth that I've been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord. I'm letting go of all my ways. I think the best for me. I'm laying down all my ideas of what I think my life should be. Everything I am right at Jesus' feet. For it's here I find everything I need. I found it all when I lost everything. Gave my life to serve a risen King. I found the truth that I've been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord. I found it all when I lost everything and gave my life to serve a risen King. I found the truth that I've been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord. I found it all when I found the Lord.
I hope that is true of each of you. Can we bow our heads in prayer, please? If you're here this morning and you don't know what you're missing, If you're here truly and you want to say, I don't know this Jesus. I've heard about him, but I don't know what it means to have him as my Lord and Savior. And what the Lord has been saying this morning is that he loves you. And he said it and did it when he wrote it in red. And he's asking you to just come as you are. Sinful as you may feel you are, he says he loves you and he came to save you. Would you open your life and allow the Savior to enter in? He'll turn your life for his glory and for your good. Maybe you're here as one who has been washed in the blood of the cross, forgiven, saved, looking for the return of Jesus Christ. Are you living your life for his glory? Or have you lost it somewhere along the way, focusing more on yourself? All that you have and ever could be, do you not know you owe it to Calvary? Are you counting what you've lost, or are you praising God for what you've found since you came to Jesus? As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you this morning just speak with the Lord and say, Lord, I've been living a very selfish life. It's been all about I, me, and myself. And I've forgotten, Lord, that it's all about your honor, your glory. Whatever I do is to magnify, glorify, exalt you. Somewhere I've been stealing away from you that glory that is rightfully yours. I've been taking credit and feeling honored and feeling puffed up with pride. Oh, have mercy on me, Jesus. I need a cleansing. Thank you for speaking to me. Would you pray like that right now in the quietness of your heart? Just tell the Savior, it's going to be just for you that I live, Lord. It's going to be for your glory. It's going to be for your honor. You saved a wretch like me. And now I surrender myself and all that I have. My boasting will be not in what I have, Lord, but in the cross of Christ. Would you make that commitment this morning? Precious Lord Jesus, it's something you brought to my heart. And I, as your servant, shared it with your people today. And I pray that every one of us will go back to our homes, reconsidering, re-evaluating, what am I living for? I pray it'll change the way we serve you, the way we love our family, the way we work in our jobs. Lord, everything will be for your glory and for your honor. Thank you for speaking to us. Bless us with your presence as we leave. For we pray this with thanksgiving in the name that is above every other name, in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.